something like what we know now, and which we Protestants came quite late, started to take shape in the 5th and 6th centuries and have evolved over time. There is, of course, a loose parallel to Lent, which is also a season of preparation. In Advent, Jesus is coming, and in Advent, Jesus is coming again. Karen Westerfield Tucker writes that in Advent, therefore, are meant the beginning and the end of the story of human redemption. But it's more than a history, isn't it? Tish Harrison Warren writes that when the church marks Advent, we find a countercultural sparseness. There is a slowing down, a silent stillness. The music turns to minor keys and becomes contemplative, even mournful. The scripture readings are apocalyptic and trippy. Trippy is her word. Why Advent matters could be better entitled Why We Need Advent or How Advent Matters. I continue to be taken by our stewardship theme, which is a not so subtle stewardship thank you. Some of you are a reminder to others of you. Visual imagery of Vision 2020 remains very, very compelling to me. So here goes. Advent. Advent serves as a kind of a pair of eyeglasses, inviting us to see clearly the world and all those in it. Like the right pair of glasses, properly prescribed and free of smudge marks, Advent is a window through which we see the present with precision and accuracy and truth. That's important, this view of the world, a view of our lives, free of distortion. If we move to Christmas too quickly, we would miss things in the blur. And a good window, like our good, big, clear windows, allows us to get a full view of the world Jesus is coming to redeem. Especially in those more distant corners that cry out for justice and reconciliation. Advent is also a kind of a mirror. We look in it to see a full and true reflection of ourselves. And for followers of Jesus, it's not so much whether we like what we see or don't. It is rather how we accept ourselves as we are, and then we move ever more deeply into who God would intend us fully to be. The condition of Harrison Warren writes that Advent bids us first to pause and to look with complete honesty in ourselves, even as we contemplate the darkness of the world. Advent invites us to a season of self-reflection and introspection, to step away in order to self-examine. And our journey to Bethlehem, our journey to the manger, would be marked by integrity and authenticity. Advent is a kind of a watch crystal, or even an old school hourglass, through which we might see time differently. In Advent, time slows down. As a kind of an antidote to the frenetic pace of the Christmas season. And when we slow down, when we wait, when we anticipate, we notice things that make all the difference in our preparation. Paul Westminster writes that Advent is a time of waiting. It is a time of joy, because the coming of Christ is not only a gift of grace and salvation, it is also a time of commitment, because it motivates us to live the present as a time of responsibility and vigilance. Responsibility and vigilance. Such waiting is not passive, Necker says. We wait with urgent expectation. Advent is a kind of a telescope. Much more than a crystal ball, though, through which we might see leading into an almost cosmic ache. Our deep, wordless desire for things to be made right, and the incompleteness we find in the meantime. But the verse that writes them in Advent, the assurance at the heart of Advent is the antidote to fear. No matter how desperate the moment, we are told, time is on the side of hope. Time is on the side of hope. And I am clinging to those words this cold December, this Advent season. Person says this is the fullest expression of the hope of Advent, that all wrongs will finally be righted, that all the scales will finally balance, and that no one will be exploited or afraid. It is like, he says, a seed in the cold earth, like the first barely detectable signs of a thaw, like a child growing in a womb. As we live in such hope, we wait, we anticipate, we prepare in the darkness